Praise God. Well, I want to continue this morning with our series about being free from the law. And just a quick little rundown on some of the things that we've been looking at over last recent weeks. First week we looked at really what the purpose of the law was and saw how Christ has freed us from the bondage of the law. That the law was given for a good reason. We saw the law was given to constrain the sin nature. It restrained the sin nature, didn't remove it. But it restrained it. We saw how actually Christ has actually removed the sin nature. We talked about mindsets. We talked about how that we could, even though we're saved by grace and we know that we're saved by grace, and we can begin to think and operate out of a law mindset, and how God really wanted to deal with our mindset so that we're living in a grace mindset, not out of a law mindset. So we talked about that. We talked about that our behavior can be on the basis of trying to be acceptable or to be accepted, or that we know that we are accepted and therefore we behave. And so we looked at that whole area of acceptance to God, because that's a fundamental issue with everybody. And everything flows out of that whole issue of acceptance. So we talked about it. We talked about the intimacy with God, and ultimately that's where it all flows at. And that there's no shortcuts to that. There's that one place of intimacy with God. And if we walk outside of that, we find that we're going to end up falling into a legalistic mindset. We'll find that fear begins to come into our life. We find that we go down a whole path. Not talking about salvation. We know that these things, we're not talking about salvation, but we come into a mindset. And so out of that intimacy, knowing that we're accepted by God, helps us to be able to be forgiving, because we know that we are forgiven. Everything flows out. Every relationship, every facet of life flows out of that. We talked about last week about looking at how that really, the grace is not a license to sin. We talked about that. The grace is not a license to sin. That we now have a desire that we want to do the right things by God, because now we are molded. We have Christ within us. We've been shaped, and we want to be more like Christ. So our desire is there. We also looked at that. Now we have a choice. Before you're a Christian, you don't have a choice. You will sin, and you'll continually sin, and you'll live in sin, and you'll end up dying in sin. The Scripture tells us. But as a Christian, we actually now have a choice. We don't have to sin. We are free from the need that we must sin. We now have a choice. We talked about, sometimes that we still do, but we have a choice now, a desire and our choice. We talked a lot about the difference between sorrow and repentance. We looked at the three stages. We had conscience, we had sorrow, and we looked at repentance, because some people think that sorrow is repentance and saw that they're actually not the same thing at all. You can be deeply sorrowful and be totally unrepentant at the same time. And so we looked at, as a Christian, that we yet from being, there's the place of sorrow, we looked at the place of repentance, and we talked about the danger of getting trapped in the place between sorrow and repentance, where people get caught in the cycle. They feel sorry, they feel terrible, they go back, their conscience is pricked, and they get caught, and you're in this area where the relationship becomes with God, and the whole frame of reference becomes in what I call the law zone, where you begin, because you're caught between feeling terrible but not conquering and coming to a place of true repentance, and so then it becomes back to trying to be acceptable, trying to earn my way to God. So we come under that law zone again. We looked at how to break that through that heart of true repentance. They're the things that we've covered in the last few weeks. And today I want to look at the fourth part, which I'm calling the law of grace. Now, it sounds like an oxymoron. No, I didn't call any of you a moron. Somebody giving me a dirty look. It's a contradiction in terms, it seems to be, but it's not. The law of grace. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember in the first time that we started talking about these things, I said to people, well, what's the opposite of law? And we said, well, actually, the opposite of law is not grace. The opposite of law is not grace. In fact, the opposite of law is the absence of law, which is actually lawlessness. And we'll have a look at that in just a moment. And so let's have a look at these things. So I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and reading down from 19 to 23. It won't come up on the screen, so you've got your Bible. Don't want you to become lazy. So bring your Bibles and we'll just read this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. It says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. This is the heart of Paul. Everything is about seeing people come into the kingdom of God, the burning passion that he's speaking to us about. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 9, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. So you might even have to go to a footy match and say, good on your Hawks, even though you don't like them. To those under the law, I became one like under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So listen to that phrase, though I myself am not under the law. And we know that we're not under the law because of the grace that we're under because of Jesus Christ, but so as to win those under the law. So he would go to the synagogue there and he would sit with them. But he wasn't there if they didn't eat meat. He wasn't there ordering Big Macs and stuff. You know, he was respectful of them and where they were at, that he wouldn't be offensive to them so that they might come to know Christ. I'm not talking about compromising in sin, but that was his heart, is that he's respectful of the people and with a heart to win them over to Christ. Verse 21, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I myself am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak I became all things to all men, so that all by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. And so you've got a consuming passion in the heart of Paul, is that he wants to see people won from Christ. But there's these two little parenthetical comments that are made here, verse 20 and also one in verse 21. He says, though I myself am not under the law, he says in verse 20. But in verse 21 he says, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. So one minute he's saying, well, I'm not under the law. But then he says, I'm under God's law. I'm actually under Christ's law. I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. So let's have a look at all this and see, okay, well, what does it mean? And ultimately, what does it all mean for us as we look at this? So Paul is actually saying, I'm not under the law. And so, well, what is the law? Remember what the law was. We talked about the law being the law that was given through Moses. I don't want to go through all of that again. And we had the Ten Commandments plus all of the other commandments, all those other regulations, all of those things together, they make up the law. And so he says, well, to those that are still living like under that, he was not being offensive to them, but he just wanted them to know about the love of Jesus Christ. But I'm not under the law, he says, and none of us sitting here are under the law, under rules and regulations, trying to be acceptable by what we do because we are under grace. We become accepted because of what Jesus has done. But he makes the comment, though I'm not free from God's law, I'm under Christ's law. Now we know that we're free from the law. Romans 6:14 says, and we had a look at this, and we don't need to remind you of these things, but Jesus has broken the requirements of the law to be put us in bondage, that we've actually free from the law. Romans 6:14 says, you are not under law, but under grace. And so we know then that for our peace with God and the way that we live this life is not a process of trying to get good enough, trying to be good enough, trying to be acceptable. No, but it's because of what Jesus has done, we are free from the law. We are not bound by the law. We're not performance-based people. We're not trying to put on a show. We're not trying to be acceptable. We're not trying to curry favor. We're not trying to put something on because we've got nothing to prove because we're acceptable to God. And so we are free from the law. But if we're free from the law, that's not the same as being lawless. And there's a big difference because if sometimes when we talked about last week about grace not being a license to the sinner, so I'm under grace now, I'm not under law. Well, yeah, it's true. You're not under the bondage of the law, the requirements of performance and observation and trying to get good enough and trying to be acceptable. You're not under that. You're not under ritual and religion and trying to do all a lot of things and keeping rules to be acceptable. We're not under that. But there is a law that we're under because we're not under lawlessness. And the Bible talks about this thing of lawlessness, total absence of any sort of law at all. And 2 Peter 3:17, it says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. There's a warning about lawless men. People who, remember, so there's three things that we've got here. We've got grace, which we're going to talk about actually being under the law of Christ. We've got the law, as in the law of Moses and regulations and the whole performance and trying to get acceptability to God because of following the right requirements of the law. But also over here, you've got a third category, if you like, which is this thing called lawlessness, where there's not an acknowledgement of either of those things. And so there's this lawlessness. 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who breaks sin breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness, and repeated ignoring and those things are just sinning. A constant life of sinning is ultimately what lawlessness is. And in fact, if we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, and you can read many more verses than the one I've got here, but it talks about the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. It actually talks about the power of Satan, counterfeit power. It even talks about signs and miracles and all these things, the man of lawlessness being revealed. And so that there's a spiritual dimension, a demonic thing, if you like, that's associated with this lawlessness, that is insidious thing that can be in the heart of man. And people who don't know Christ and who aren't even trying to live a good life, they may be bad here, they're just in this place of constant sin, and there's an undercurrent of demonic things that go along with all that kind of lifestyle, go along with those things. So there's a lawlessness. Now, Paul says that I'm no longer under the law. I'm not bound by the regulations of the law. My acceptability to God and who I am, my definition, doesn't come from me falling within the parameters, these rules to be good enough. It's not there. But Paul's saying it's not, okay, just because it's not here under the law, it doesn't mean I'm over here in lawlessness. Because there's actually a demonic undercurrent to that, and it's just sin and constant things. He said, no, there's something else that you're under now. You're not there, you're not here, but you're actually here now, and you're actually under the law of Christ. And that's what I want to talk about now. So we're talking about being free from the law. I want to tell you, though, that you're free from the law as given, and the requirements and the need for acceptance, but there's a higher law, if you like, and that is the law of Christ. And that's what I want to talk about today. Now, the interesting thing is that, remember, this law in the middle, the law of Moses that was given to restrain the sin nature. When there's just totally running wild and without restraint, at least the law came and it put some parameters in there. It constrained the sin nature, gave some boundaries. This is what's right, this is what's wrong, this is what good, that's what bad. People trying and trapped in all of this, trying to do the right thing, falling and caught up constantly in this thing. And then we have over here Christ's law. Now, the thing about Christ's law is, actually, whatever the requirements of over here that we had to do, Christ's law actually fulfills all of that requirements in terms of being acceptable and able to have a relationship with God. Christ's law actually meets all of those things. Let's just have a look at the scripture there in come up Romans 13:8-10. It says, let no debt remain outstanding. It's a good thing for Christians not to borrow money from each other. I encourage you not to do that. It'll change your relationship. Never do that. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments over here: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And whatever commandments there may be is summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And so here we see that in all of the requirements and these things that had to be met to make a standard that men just couldn't do, we couldn't do, in Christ, under Christ, all of those things are met, and it's expressed in the law of Christ in this thing called love. It says, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And so we now stand in this new place. We don't stand over there. We don't stand here, but we now stand under the law of Christ. What I'm calling the law of grace, because we need that. Remember, the whole purpose of law, it was a behavior modification, and there was something that needed to change in behavior. And so the law of Christ is actually something that outworks and affects the way that we behave, the way that we live our lives, and the way that the choices that we make as we live this life. And it's interesting, when you look at this whole law, remember the whole thing about the law, Paul says, is the law bad? Well, law wasn't bad. He never gave his people something bad. It actually told people, well, this is what sin is. He says, I wouldn't have known what sin was apart from the law. And so he says the law is good. But the problem was, why did the law, what was wrong with the law? Well, one, it constrained. It didn't take away. Only Christ takes away the sin nature. He makes us a brand new person. But also the struggle was, is that with the law, is that the law became an end in itself. People began to do all the right stuff, look really good, and can be as rotten as anything in the inside. And Paul talked about Jesus spoke and talked to the Pharisees about being whitewashed tombs. Really nice on the outside, but just dead on the inside. And so, trouble was with all of this is that that became a law in itself, and therefore, by being a law in itself, then people were going to forget why it was there. Why did God make the law then? In the first place, Deuteronomy 7:9, God makes it really clear. He says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." So what does God think of the law? He calls it his covenant of love. It's not the bondage thing that God put on mankind, the bondage trip because man, you know, whatever. It was actually his covenant of love. That's what God sees it as. He says, "Look, I love you guys so much, and I'm making a covenant of love with you." But where we got it wrong, and where the Pharisees got it wrong, is when the law became devoid of its purpose, which was ultimately love. It's the covenant of love. It's about relationship. The whole point of the law was to maintain relationship with God. But that was lost in the translation. It was lost in the application. The Pharisees forgot about the love and the relation side of it and thought, gee, these rules are pretty cool. In fact, let's make a few thousand more rules ourselves in addition to all the regulations. Let's regulate every part of life and let's put little fences everywhere, and forgot the whole point is about love. But that's what Christ did. Christ comes and says, well, actually, the fulfillment of the law is actually love, because really that was what it was about. It was a love covenant. That was the point of the law. And Jesus comes and he fulfills every requirement. All the righteous requirements have been fulfilled in Christ. We've already spoken about it. And how he wants us to walk in this place, which is the covenant of love. Now, it's an interesting covenant, this covenant that God wants us to walk in, this law of Christ, if you like. If you can turn to the book of Matthew, if you like, to chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. And because the thing about this particular law of Christ, if you like, or the law of grace, as I've called it, it actually has a higher level of requirements than even the law here. Now, all what was ever required there has actually been fulfilled in Christ, but Christ actually sets a whole new standard. You're thinking, oh, great, well, here I am struggling over here, and now Christ actually raised the bar and put me over here in the law of grace now. Now, just remember the difference. One is about performance. One is about acceptance. One's about where you are. The other one is where you're trying to be, but there's a difference. But let's have a look at what is the standard of Christ's law. What does he lay down as the law? Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 5, and you can read all of Matthew chapter 5 if you want to. We haven't got time to do that. I'm just going to pick out a couple of verses and some of the headings that appear in my Bible here. Matthew 5, chapter 17, it says, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." Has come to abolish it, but I have actually come to fulfill them. So I'm going to meet all of that, and I'm going to bring it over here. "I tell you the truth, that until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Everything is accomplished in Christ and his sacrifice for us. "Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be the least in the kingdom of God. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be great in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 20, "For I tell you," now listen to this, "that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God." So here we have the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and they had all these parameters about what you can do and can't do, and hypocrites is what Jesus called them because they didn't keep their own rules or whatever. But there's a standard that was in the law there, and Jesus actually says, well, actually, the standard is actually higher that I'm setting even over here. He says, I'm fulfilling all of that, but I'm putting another standard. Jesus actually raised the bar in this whole process of the law of Christ, if you like. And then he gives some examples of that. There's a whole bunch of examples. We won't dwell on them and spend a lot of time on them. But it goes through murder. Very clearly under the law here, you murder someone, run for your life because you are a dead man. Murder. But Jesus actually says, it's not enough just to murder someone. He says, in fact, if you actually have murderous thoughts about someone, if you actually, or even deride someone, he says, even if you go up to someone and it says, tell you that anyone is angry with his brother and he calls him a raka, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, which is just a complete fool. And then he says, who says, you fool, or the translation is a completely empty-headed idiot. If you go there and rip shreds off someone and you call them this, you're that, you rip them apart, he says, this is Jesus saying, says, you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Man, over here, I had to kill someone over here. If I think like that and I'm living with murderous thoughts or hateful, spiteful thoughts, Jesus is saying, just watch out. He's lifted the bar. He talks about the area of adultery over here. Talks about an action of that area. But over here, he talks about the thoughts over here. And he says, well, I see the same as the two. He talks about divorce over here, quite a flippant thing over here. He was quite strong about it, about your word that you give over here. You know, you can give, you give your word. And Jesus is saying, look, you don't even have to go come down to that. You just let your yes be yes and no be no. Just rituals of taking oath and swearing and before God and whatever else. No, that's your yes be yes and no be no. So your word has come up to a whole new level. He talks about the area of revenge. Over here, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If you knock my tooth out, come here, mate, you're off to the dentist. Bang. Over here, Jesus' heart is actually forgiveness, not revenge. And so there's a whole new standard that he raises. Love for your enemy over here. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Over here, Jesus says, yeah, love your neighbor, love your enemy. The bar is just gone from here. Jesus has raised the bar there. Now, people over here struggle when the bar's here. You're going to fall and you're not going to make it. It's too high. But the bar really, Jesus has set the bar up here. If you're trying to meet the bar that Jesus has set and you're coming out of over here, you're going to feel terribly miserable. You can't get over this one, let alone getting over this one. This one's concerned with behavior and actions and those things. But here, it's looking at the whole realm of thoughts and attitudes. Different. So it's a whole new standard, if you like, that's been set in Christ's law. You think, well, great. Am I now in a worse state than I was before? No, because there's a fundamental difference. The difference here is this thing is an outside trying to me down here, trying to get good enough, trying to do this stuff, trying to get over the line, which doesn't matter how high I jump, I'm just not tall enough to get over the line. I just can't make it under there. As opposed to Jesus raising the bar, he doesn't expect us to be there or jumping up, oh, come on, I can't, you know, all my thoughts, all this sort of stuff. He actually has given us a lift up. We stand on the shoulders of Christ, and he actually puts us over the bar. He puts us over the line. So how does all of this work in our lives? Let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. So the difference here is that God gave the law. There was the law of the Ten Commandments that were written down twice on these tablets that were given. Moses had to go back and get the second set because he was so disgusted with the Israelites. He smashed the first one, and God says, well, didn't really want you to do that. Okay, here's your replacement set. Bang, here we go. And writes them down for them. All of the things that were dictated as God revealed them to Moses. And it wasn't Moses' law. It was God's law. Moses wasn't there making the law of Moses. He was giving the law by God and given through Moses. It was still all God's law. And so let's have a look at Hebrews 8:10. It says, this is the covenant I will make with them. Remember, we had this love covenant, which what it really was originally, and man changed it and became a performance based, not a love thing, lost the relationship, the idea of that covenant. He says, Hebrews 8:10, this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. So over here, it's an external thing that's been written down outside, and I'm trying to get there. Over here, he's actually imprinted these things upon our hearts and imprinted them in our minds. And so can we get over the bar? Yeah, because Christ has actually put that within us. He's actually implanted those things within our lives. How can we do that? How can we live in such a way if this is the standard here that Christ has set for us? Well, as I said before, if you're still caught in what I spoke about over the last few weeks, you're still caught in a law mindset, or if you're still caught in the law zone of not actually breaking through to repentance, the idea of, well, it's hard enough not to do the bad things, let alone think about doing the bad things, well, you're going to feel all the more miserable. So we've got to learn the lessons of the previous weeks to understand what God is saying to us here. But so the fundamental thing is that the whole issue of acceptance, knowing that we are acceptable to God entirely because of what Jesus Christ has done. We don't have to prove anything to anyone. You're acceptable to God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to preach the whole things, but that whole issue of acceptance, if you haven't got that in your head, if you're processing these things now out of, man, how did I do that? That sounds impossible. Then you've missed those points. Go back, learn them, get the CDs, whatever. They'll be on the website soon, I'm told by Jeremy. So get that stuff, but pray over it, get it in your heart. But you are accepted to God. You're not striving to be accepted. You're not performance-based or driven. The other aspect of this was the intimacy factor. And ultimately, that your relationship with God can come be on the basis of, I am acceptable to you, God. Someone over here struggling, their relationship with God is based on, Lord, I'm miserable, I'm rotten, I'm not good enough for you, Lord, how can you even look at me? I'm a filthy, disgusting worm. And that the whole relationship with God is reduced to that. Now, if we have sinned, we've got to deal with sin. Scripture tells us, bring it, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But I'm talking about repentance, not just feeling bad. We talked about repentance. I don't want to go over all these things again. But if we've got the issue of acceptance working in our lives, and if we've got the issue of intimacy with God working in our lives, loving him for who he is, just adoring God and spending the time and knowing who he is and loving him in that way, that'll actually change a lot of things in our hearts and in our minds. Also, the fact is that if we've been repentant, we're not trapped in that law zone, caught between sorrow and repentance. If we can get these things to click, 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 we'll suddenly realize, well, hang on a moment, what you're saying, God, is actually not the impossible dream that you put us on us to torment us, but actually it's the actual outworking of what you've given us and even done in us, because you've actually put that within our hearts. Because remember, we've died to sin and then we're now a new creation within our hearts. And so the laws are put on our hearts. So the issues of being accepted, issue of intimacy, issue of being truly repentant and walking in that repentance are really important. And if you don't get those things, you're going to struggle with what I'm saying today and think, well, what hope do I have? Well, get those things, get them right. And we're still all learning, we're still growing, and none of us can say, okay, well, I've got it all together, I never think wrong. Well, we all, Scripture says, as I said last week, if you say that, you're a liar. None of us are there yet, but we have the ability to rise to that because we are standing on the shoulders of Christ. And so whatever the bar is, Christ lifts us over the bar. Galatians 5:18 talks about being led by the Spirit of God. See, if when we do things wrong, and I'm not talking about, oh, gee, did I say that? Gee, I didn't mean to say that or whatever. But if we sin and we do things and they're wrong and your attitude's wrong and you know it's wrong, but you're holding on to that attitude because you want to hold on to that attitude, well, you're not being led by the Spirit of God in those things. When we're not being led by the Spirit of God, we're going to do those things that aren't good. They're actually sinful, those kind of things. But when we're led of the Spirit of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. And that ultimately is born out of intimacy with God. Being led of the Spirit of God. Some people say, gee, I don't know. How do you know it's God? Or how do you know the leading of God? Well, you won't know. You'll know the Word of God and you'll be able to apply it, because 99% of what God ever needs to say to you, he said to you in his Word, if you just actually read it and apply it in our lives. But on some other specific things, should I go here? Should I do that? You know, how do you get led by the Spirit of God? Well, that won't happen unless there's the place of intimacy. Now, God is gracious. He might suddenly stop you from driving through the truck or over the bridge that's out or something in his grace. He'll still talk to us because he loves us and cares for us. But we want to walk in a place of intimacy so that we're led of the Spirit of God. And I guarantee is when we start to go a little bit off within ourselves, it's when we've compromised on that place of intimacy. And sometimes we can do that. We all get crowded. We all can. And then if we get crowded out of the intimacy, then the being led of the Spirit of God, you'll find it hard. Oh, it's so hard to hear from God. And some people say, look, I just can't hear from God. Well, the question is what is your intimacy like? But your intimacy will struggle if you're struggling with the whole issue of acceptability to God. How can I pray? I'm this pathetic, useless. If that's your mindset, you're not going to have true intimacy with God, and you're not going to be able to be led by the Spirit, and the bar just becomes this impossible bar that might as well be as far as heaven is above the earth. But if we have that place of know we're accepted, intimacy, we're repentance, and walk in repentance and turning away those things that we spoke about, then we are led by the Spirit of God. John 1 John 4 is interesting. Let's have a quick look at this. It'll come up on the screen, verses 17 to 19. It says, in this way, love is made complete. Remember, this law of Christ really is the law of love. That's really what it's about. It's about being able to love and to be truly loving and to know what it is to love. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. Someone made that comment this morning, I think. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so it talks about here about whether we have a confidence. Well, we have a confidence because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did on the cross for us. But it talks about a fear. And some people get caught in fear. If fear is a major part in your life about what could happen or may happen or, oh no, this and that, and fear grips your heart, you are still caught over in this law zone. Are you saved? Yeah, you're saved. This is not about salvation we've been talking about. But if your thought, if fear grips your life and is a dominating thing, oh, this, that, oh, anxiety affects your health, it affects your everything in every way, it's because you're still trapped in our mindset. You've got to come over to this place and understand love and the love of God, because fear has to do with punishment. It's to do with performance. It's to do with, oh, look, am I really going to make it? Am I really good enough? And if fear is a part of your life, then another symptom of being caught in that law thinking. Get your heart right with God. Know that you're accepted with him. Know that Jesus has made you right with God. Get in the place of intimacy. If it needs to be repentance, then don't just be sorry. Be truly repentant and walk in those things, because fear is to do with punishment. But perfect love drives out fear. And so if we understand really that ultimately was a covenant of love anyway, and we're in the place of loved of Christ, being fully and completely, totally loved of God, and then there's no fear. It's no worry to mind about it. This perfect love drives out all fear. Where's perfect love? Yeah, it's in Christ. Only in Christ do we find that perfect love. And so there is Christ's law, if you like. We're not under lawlessness. We're not bound by the law. But here we are under Christ's law. And it's not an external thing that is we're trying to do. It's actually who we are, and it flows out of our life. It's an inside-out thing. It's not to do with punishment, fear, but there's a life that's within us. And I pray that we grab a hold of these things. So we're not talking about lawlessness, we're about Christ's law upon our heart. And he actually has lifted us up, that we can live a life like that. Does anyone perfect in this world walking around? No. But we can grow in that, because we have the Holy Spirit within us. And that's what we're doing. We're stepping up a little bit higher and higher. We're standing on Christ's shoulders, getting higher and higher. And we're able to meet the requirement of life, of love that Jesus has given us. Galatians 5:14 reminds us that the entire law was summed up in the single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And ultimately, that's an overflow of that. This life that Christ has for us is to be totally loved and accepted by him out of the place of intimacy, to be led of the Spirit, where there's repentance. It's not just sorrow where it's needed. If we fall as we do, it's not just, oh, gee, I feel bad about it and go around the mirror, conscience, sorrow, conscience. No, it's repentance. Remember what repentance was. It says, true repentance, no regrets, no shame, no guilt. So a total understanding of revelation through Christ. But the outworking of all of this is love, is loving. That's the outworking of Christ's law. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So how's this law is fulfilled by observance and trying to do all of this stuff and trying to be good enough? How do I fulfill this law of Christ? I just love. I just love. I just show, the love of Christ. How do I do that? Because I know he loved me. I know that he accepted me. I know that he's forgiven me. I know that he wants me. He wants to be with me, that he's my Lord, he's my Savior. And therefore now I can love. And that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. It's not about performance. It's just allowing God's love to flow out of our hearts. Why do people sometimes struggle with just showing the love of God or just showing love per se or in relationships and things? It's because they get caught back over here again. And love, rather than be a freely given thing, it becomes something as to earn approval, to be accepted. Oh, will you like me? Or maybe they won't like me. Will they accept me? Will they reject me? And it's this to-ing and fro-ing kind of love, that the love that Christ enables us, or what he has done, is to love, true love, to give that unconditional love that God has given us. And so we can carry each other's burdens, and to be burden carriers, to care for one another, show love to one another. And in doing so, that's how you fulfill the law of Christ. And it's not easy, so it's not hard to love when you know that you're loved. If you don't feel loved, it is hard to love. If you feel unloved, someone that feels unloved, it's an effort to love. They can still love, because love is always a choice. Love's not an emotion, it's always a choice. It's a conscious decision, but it's hard to love if you feel unloved. But if you're in the place of intimacy with God, then that need for love, which every one of us has been made with, God has made us for the need to feel loved. People try to find that somewhere in the wrong places, but we find that need fulfilled in Christ. And as we have that need fulfilled, then we can love. We can carry each other's burdens, and in doing so, fulfill the law of Christ. Finally, Ephesians 5:2, it says, and live a life of love. That's what God wants us to do. Live a life of love. Live a life of love. Because remember, love, the scripture tells us, wants no harm to our neighbor. We just want to bless. We're there to love and to bless. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us. Grace. Incredible grace that Christ gave us. We didn't deserve it. None of us deserve what Jesus did for us on the cross. But by his grace, he gave us love. And live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us and as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So let's have a look at these things as quickly. God wants us to live that life of love. Too often we get caught up in this zone here. There's not a lawlessness, because living in sin and those things, and there's that demonic undercurrent that grabs a hold of that, the spirit of lawlessness, which is already at work. So we're not under law where we have to do this to be acceptable. I must read for my Bible for 10 minutes today to be acceptable by God, then that's just religion and it's lifeless and there's no love in that. If your time with God is a stringent thing, I must do and I must spend the time and I must, anything that's a must is not life. But if there's love in it, Lord, I just love you and I just want to love you and I just want to spend time with you, Lord. I want to learn more about you. That's what God wants us. And he gives us the ability to do that. Not just about doing the right things, but even our thought life, to get our thought life right. And Christ actually helps us out of a place of, first of all, acceptance, out of the intimacy, we've talked about those things, if we're out of repentance, where there's been genuine repentance, and knowing that perhaps we need to walk in that when we sin, areas of our life that we need to deal with, a genuine turning, a genuine repentance in our hearts, in our lives, to be led of the Spirit of God, which flows out of that intimacy. And then we find that, well, actually the bar, maybe I thought the bar was there. Actually, maybe it's not that far because I'm standing on Christ. Do sometimes I come underneath it? Yeah, I do, because I'm still growing, still learning in God. But we can actually live the life that Christ wants of us. He's given us the ability to do that. So let's stand to our feet. I want to pray this morning. So if you've got fear in your life this morning, if you honestly would admit that fear just sort of grips your life, then maybe you're still here in some way. Maybe you need to do a little check and say, well, gee, is it the issue of acceptance? Do I need to get that right? Is it the issue of intimacy? Do I need to get that right? Is it the intimacy of repentance? Do I need to get that right? What are the things that I need to get in my life? Because ultimately, Christ has given us everything. That's what grace is about. Christ did everything on the cross for us. And we're always asking him to do more because our mind and our heart is still stuck here sometimes. But if we're here, we just know the love of God in our lives. And because we love him, it makes us rise up. When you know how much God loves you, it makes you stand. When your wife tells you that she loves you. It makes you stand just a little bit taller on the inside. When a little child says to a mother, as they will on Mother's Day, they'll throw their arms around their mums and say, "Mummy, I love you." I bet you every mum would just feel a little bit taller in the inside. Just feel, wow. You stand in the place where God throws his arm around you. And he says, "I love you, my child. I love you completely. I love you." Then we just stand taller in the things of God. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, for an awareness of the love of Christ this day on every person as we stand here. Lord, the law of Christ, Lord, it's the law of love. And Father, we just know, Lord, that you cause us to stand in that, because we don't stand in our own 2 feet. We stand on the shoulders of Christ, who has caused us to be lifted up far beyond everything of our own selves. So we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you dealt in our lives once and for all this whole issue of being under the law and trying to be accepted and put on a show and trying to do this and trying to do that, Father. You've set us free from that, Lord. And Father, you've placed us under the law of Christ, which is the law of being loved totally. Lord, to be loved of you. And Lord, the ability to love, Lord, which affects not only what we do, not only what we say, but even affects how we think, Lord. And so, Father, I pray this day, Lord, let every person that is here today be having a greater awareness of the love of Christ on their lives. Father, in our lives, Lord, that we might fulfill the law of Christ, that we will carry each other's burdens. And in so doing, Lord, fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, let it outwork in our lives. Father, because the great love that you've given us, how can we just lie down and enjoy it, Lord? We just want to give that out, Lord. We want to share the love that you've given us. Father, I pray that each person in this church will stand in the right place where you want them to stand. And that is to stand in the place of grace, to stand in the place of love, Lord, of total acceptance because of Jesus Christ. Lord, a place of intimacy because of Jesus Christ. A place of intimacy, of repentance because of Jesus Christ. Be led of the Spirit of God because of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray for your love to be burning on every heart today. I thank you, Lord, that you have already written your laws and those things on our hearts, Lord. And Lord, that you give us an ability. So Lord, we come and submit ourselves to your love this day. Father, it's for some it's hard to be loved, to feel they can be loved. But Lord, we lay aside those things. Lord, we just lose ourselves in your love today, in the love of Christ, Lord. And Lord, help us just to fulfill that every day, to show your love. Lord, because it's easy to love when you are loved, and how loved we are by you, Lord. And we just want to honor you this day. Father, if anyone struggles with fear in their life, fear about what will happen to them, fear that will happen to their children, fear in any area of their life, Father, we just see that broken in Jesus' name. Lord, let your perfect love come now. Cast out all fear. Lord, for we stand under a covenant, Lord, that's been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your love today. We thank you for your heart to each person that is here. Father, if anyone is struggling in these things today, I pray, Lord, let them find you. Lord, as they just lay it all aside. Lord, we don't have to cry out to you, Lord, and beg you, Lord. We just have to say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. And Lord, you pour your love. So Lord, pour your love on each person. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Lord, even as we raise our hands, Lord, we just want to just know the love, your love today, Lord. Your love that causes us to rise. Causes us to stand taller, far beyond who we are, because we stand as ones that have Christ within us, or we stand, Lord, you lift us up. Lord, the bar is not so hard, Lord, because, Lord, we're not doing anything in our own strength, because it's nothing. But, Lord, we stand today in the strength of the risen Christ. And, Lord, we just know your love is poured upon us. So pour your heart, pour your love on every person here. Lord, whoever's brokenhearted today, Lord, pour love. And mend the brokenhearted. Lord, for those that are full of fear, Lord, let the love of God fall upon them, Lord. That fear will be gone in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you minister to us whatever our need is. Lord, whatever the needs of your people this day, Lord, pour your love upon us. And Father, let us stand as people that can stand taller. We're not bound by the law. We're not under the law. But Lord, we're under the law of Christ, the law of your love. So Lord, we just thank you this day. Lord, I pray that you sear this on every heart in Jesus' name. Father, that we rise today. We rise today. We will rise today. We stand today. Lord, we stand today. Just think of it in Micah. It says, though I have fallen, I will rise. And I believe that's a word for someone here today. That though you've fallen, I will rise. And I believe that God is going to place a determination in your heart that you will rise because you stand in the love of God. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name.